Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Plenty of news happening around the country this week that just didn't quite make the national headlines. Breakfast Briefing presenter Shane Beattie is with us in studio to tell us all about them. How are you?
I'm very well. Good afternoon.
Oh, isn't the weather just unbelievable?
Happy, sunny,
oh, it's great.
Sunny Friday.
Love it.
I can't wait to go home and, you know, as much as I enjoy your company, I want to go home.
I can't wait to get out of here.
I want to cut the grass and just sit out in the garden for a wee bit this evening.
This is your time to shine, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Powerhosing and come and do mine after.
Sorry, I forgot to powerhose. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. I'm flat out for the weekend now. Yeah,
I know.
I was just going to mow the lawn. Well, that song was written about the beaches of Thailand.
Mm.
We're talking about the beaches of Donegal.
Go on.
Quite similar.
Absolutely.
Amazing news, actually, this week. So we have some curved pieces of timber which have turned up on a Donegal beach. And now they reckon it could be key to unlocking the mystery of what happened to a ship that sank over 200 years ago. Did you know about this ship in Donegal?
Where, though?
It's in Port Salon. Are you familiar with this story?
No, I can't say I am.
The ship is called HMS Saldanha. So I'll tell you a bit about it. The Irish Independent have the story. So in December 1811, there was a Royal Navy 36-gun ship patrolling the waters of Loch Swilly, and that was hit by a hurricane and it sank. And tragically, 253 people died.
Right.
Pretty much everyone on board died. But in recent weeks, there have been shifting sands at Ballymastocker Bay near Port Salon. And this has led to pieces of wood being uncovered on the beach, which local experts reckon may be the starboard bow of the HMS Saldanha. So now work has begun.
That's a big discovery.
It's huge. So work has begun to formally identify whether it is in fact the remains of the HMS Saldanha. That boat was sailing from Buncrana to enforce a naval blockade against France in the North Atlantic around the time of Napoleon, when it became engulfed by furious seas and gales near Ballymastocker Bay. Now, it's a mad story, so only the captain, William Pakenham, made it ashore. Everyone else died, right? But then he asked for water and they gave him poutine instead, and then he died too.
Stop.
Yes, got poisoned by the poutine. He also came on shore with a parrot. However, the parrot flew away when it came on shore, offshore, and it was shot by a local farmer. So 253 people died, the captain survived, and the parrot. But then they both died as well. And according to local marine archaeologist John O'Rourke, the discovery at the beach is consistent with the location of where the Saldanha went down, but a whole load more tests are needed. And apparently locals in Port Salon are very, very respectful of this beach because they know that that's where 253 people were buried as well. So what we're not looking for here is tourists to go and wreck the beach. We need to preserve it until they do all of these tests. But fingers crossed it is, and it would be great to get more evidence and information about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, from the top of the country to the bottom.
Yeah, we're talking Cork now, and we're talking here about the first ever influencer saint. It's the first ever... It's an influencer saint, or the first ever...
Hashtag collab, like.
The first ever millennial saint. And they're they're coming to Cork. But they did use the internet in their work when they were alive. So people may or may not be familiar with this story. Last September, there was a teenager, Carlo Acutis, who was canonised by Pope Leo, becoming the first millennial saint. And now his relics are coming to the Diocese of Cork and Ross. This was a young teenager born only in 1991 who led a short life but used the internet to spread the word of Catholicism. So he was known as God's influencer. In 2005, he was diagnosed with leukemia. And sadly, he died that year in Italy, and he was named a saint last September. Now, it's not easy to be named a saint. You or I will never be named saints, I can tell you that for one thing.
Thanks.
But basically, in 2012, the Archdiocese of Milan opened his cause for canonization, with the Pope Francis confirming his life as one of heroic virtue in 2018. That's your first step to becoming a saint. 2 years later, then the Pope found a miracle attributed to Carlos. Basically, a boy with a pancreas condition was healed after kissing clothes belonging to Carlos. And then 2 years ago, there was a second miracle where a woman suffered a brain hemorrhage. Her daughter prayed at his tomb and the woman reportedly recovered. So this is why he's a saint. Mm. But he's a very, very young saint. And it's expected that the relics of Carlos Acutis will be on display in Cork and Ross around the Feast of Corpus Christi in June. So I know a lot of people interested in that. So that'll be happening in Cork and Ross in June.
Then Limerick, you're my lady, the one true love that I have ever known.
What happened with murals this week?
Do you like a mural?
It depends what it's of. Mm. I like the ones actually in the north. I think the murals in Derry are very good.
Okay, I've never seen those.
Have you not?
No.
It's well worth a trip. Do you know what? Derry is a great spot.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it for a weekend.
Yeah, the walls of Derry.
But there's so much to do.
Yeah. There's one I used to pass. It was a gorgeous mural of Hosier, and I used to pass it every day on my drive
where?
Home. Near, oh God, I don't know, South Circular Road kind of area.
Right.
You know me in Dublin.
Like, yeah.
Where? The answer to your question, where, is on my drive home.
That's yeah, what I can right.
tell you. So basically, go from Dublin to Nice and you would have seen it. But in recent weeks, it's been painted over, unfortunately. And it's just a sign.
Why?
I don't know. It's just a sign for a business now. So I need to go to Limerick to look at these murals. So the whole idea in Limerick is if you have a gaff in Limerick, you're being invited by the council there to express your interest in making external public visible walls available for future mural projects. So they want to paint a load of houses and walls in Limerick with murals. And it follows the success of Limerick's Street Art Trail, which apparently was wildly successful. So now the council wants to expand the number of walls of Limerick available for murals. And the idea is that maybe they would attract tourists who would come and look at the walls of Limerick.
Well, often as you would in Derry and Belfast as well. I don't know. Like, not everybody's going to want this. I mean, as much as I think they're nice, I don't know if I'd want it inside of my house. In fact, I can tell you I wouldn't.
That's the thing. And that's where they're trying to convince property.
Do you get anything for it?
You get the pleasure of having lovely art on your wall.
What if you didn't like the person that was the mural was of? Do you remember there was a whole kick up in Mayo 2 years ago over the mural of Joe Biden?
Yeah. I know, yeah, absolutely. I presume you'd get a picture of what your wall is going to look like.
And you'd have people standing around your house all the time admiring this.
Yeah, but some people might love that, and that's, they're hoping the tourists would come to Limerick to look at the walls, but they need extra walls to do this. So they say you can become part of the next chapter of Limerick's public art journey. So if you're interested, get in touch with Limerick City and County Council if you want your house to be home to murals. And the council say that they will try and match you with mural projects this year and over the next few years as well.
That is a good idea, I suppose, you know.
And apparently the first walls of Limerick were very successful.
Do you know where it would be a great idea?
Mm.
Dilapidated buildings.
Yeah, spice.
Derelict. You know, it's a great way to just regenerate and just do up buildings that need a little bit of TLC.
Yeah. And if they're done right, they can be beautiful.
Absolutely.
That's Willow Smith there with her one-hit wonder, Whip My Hair. Not a surprise because it's a brutal song. But the reason we're talking about hair is we're going to Laois for our next story. And we all know that the academic route isn't for everyone. Certainly wasn't for me. I couldn't wait to go work in the media. I had no interest in school or the Leaving Cert. Do you know, a lot of people don't follow the academic route. And there's a young lad in Laois who I think is a real inspiration to young people who don't want to go down the college route. Because the Indo tells us while most teenagers are thinking about exams, homework and what to do after school, one 17-year-old from Rathdowney has already taken a different route. At the age of 17, he's opened his own barbershop.
Fair play to him.
So he decided that the traditional classroom route just wasn't for him. And Ben O'Doherty has turned his passion for cutting hair into a business, and the business is called Evolution Barbers, and it's at the bottom of the square in Rathdowney. Ben was 5 when he was diagnosed with autism, and he said he was actually doing well in education, but he just really didn't enjoy it. But he did develop a love for hair and learning the craft of becoming a barber. He started doing his family's hair from the age of 13, bought himself a clippers, apparently showed a real talent for it, and he decided to leave school after his junior cert and get educated in barbering, in hairdressing instead. said. And he says his friends and family could not have been more supportive when he decided he wanted to leave school. You do have to go through some training, obviously. So he trained in Portlaoise and also in Limerick. I think this guy was always going to be an entrepreneur because he grew up on a farm and he used to sell eggs from hens and ducks when he was a child. But it's fantastic now to see this. Hopefully his business flies it. And I'm sure he'll charge a reasonable price for the haircuts as well.
Yeah, I wonder how, like, you know, it's to get into that and set it up at 17.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously a keen interest from a young age.
Keen interest and a huge support from his family as well. And I recently got my haircut in Dublin and it was €25. Robbery.
We were only talking about the price of lads' haircuts recently on the show.
Yes, robbery. So hopefully it'll be a bit cheaper than 25.
But that's because you go to those fancy places that serve you whiskey and the Roche and all this kind of stuff.
I barely got a bottle of water for it.
Okay, good stuff. Shane Beattie, as always, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live back Monday at 6. Listen, enjoy your garden cleanup and redesign and all that goes. I'm at the same myself now.
I'm hightailing it onto the N7 to get home to do my garden. Have a lovely weekend.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.